Blog Talk Radio.
Shout out to Adrian Adonis. Yeah. This ain't no video game. Yeah. This life will only give you 1 year. That's where my brothers, we are locked up in a brutal scene.
Damn.
Fuck underground, I'm thunderbound. Damn. So point the arrow now. Damn. I built the pyramids and rose the sun. So call me Pharaoh now.
Grab
that's just some food for thought. So take it like a protein.
Yeah.
I live in places that's so anti-black and pro-green. Money
Damn.
Over Africans, but we ain't really Africans.
African.
Divide us like we fractions, so we won't reclaim our past again.
God
so tell your fucking pastor, Robin Master, take a class again.
Yeah.
Cause I'm gonna show these people there's no need for you to ask a man.
Nah.
Just get up on your knees and talk to God. Don't worry about your sin. I'm telling you the truth, my words, my bond, and I can vouch for him. This light up in the tunnel, can't you see it? Use your glasses, damn. I'm tired of all my people. See, that's niggas with no action plan.
And
I didn't choose to rap. He just fell into a backup plan. So
yeah.
Let it go so he can show you how he's built a master plan.
Yeah.
I rise with the sun.
Even if you ain't the same, and treat your lady with respect, even if she hates your vein. It's easier to do the bad, I'm urging you to please refrain. Read about some righteousness or open up a business, man. If you don't really feel this, turn it off and toss it in the drain. Cause I ain't got no feelings for no sheep who's lost without his brain. Michael Brown, he left me with a frown, but he should've known better, man. When he looking for a reason to put a bullet in his letter, man. And don't you get the clue that all these people scared of all us, cause we made it through that slavery by Rolexes and Rovers. And you can't hold us down, we hold the crown for majors before us. And though you play with money, we still know that you below us. Now look what you done did, I'm so mixed, I'm just mixed up. Cause I can see the point of every picture with these scriptures. If you never take a handout, you can never be a victim. So I don't participate inside these pretty little prisms. Money, military, college.
All right. Welcome. This is Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Tuesday, August the 15th of 2017. And the time is 12:30 Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for you today. And as you know, I like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you and I respect your time, so I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my brothers, today, my sisters, we want to continue with part two of what we talked about yesterday when we talked about mastering the mundane. So we know that on the outside, that word mundane means comes across as something negative. It's really interesting because we associate boring or uneventful or consistency or stable or uneventful as something that is should be disdained or rejected. At least speaking for myself, I felt that way. And so I made the biggest mistake of my life with not seeing value and worth in people and in organizations that are stable and what's the word I'm looking for? Consistent. And so this stability and this consistency that is found in certain people and certain organizations, you know, because I'm a high-strung guy. I'm a bipolar guy. I'm an extremist. I'm a guy that likes to go, you know, balls to the wall. You know, if I'm in it, I'm in it to win it. So I didn't see worth, and I didn't see value. That was the kiss of death. That is the kiss of death in life. Because the Bible talks about that the race is not won to the swift, but it's won by the person or that individual that, again, endures to the end. So the race is won by the person and the people who endures to the end. So as I talked about yesterday, and I apologize to all my clients, I apologize to all my listeners, because all of the years I've been really focusing on, you know, man, this extreme focus, discipline, and order. And it does require that, but it doesn't have to be extreme. In fact, it is recommended that it's not extreme. Because when you do things extreme, that tends to mean fast. And it tends to mean that you are missing certain key elements. And I encourage everybody, especially last night's show, when I talked about, you know, the ability to learn how to use this newfound knowledge that I've gathered to optimize your life even faster, because less is more. And now I want to talk to you about something I learned a long time ago, something that, you know, that's modeled in front of me, especially for the last 8 years, because it's interesting how when you are really for something, people automatically assume that you are against something else. Now, let me make sure you understand, because tomorrow we're going to talk about and get more into Hebrews 6:1, and I need to go back to my roots and reestablish some things that will allow you to be firm and consistent. Those three attributes, again, that I can pull back from my corrections days. I remember going through the academy, and they told us in the academy, and I thought it was BS. Because, again, I had security and law enforcement experience, but I'd never been inside of a cage with a set of keys and a radio with 90 convicted felons. See, if you're a cop, your weapon is your crutch. And it's interesting because inside of a prison, you don't got no crutch. So I was a Marine first, and then I went into law enforcement second, then I went into corrections third, then code compliance and loss prevention. But what's interesting in my journey through the criminal justice system was I started off with a crutch, and then I had that crutch taken away from me. And the same way, the same thing is happening in life. I started off with a crutch, and now the crutch has been taken away from me. And now I find myself in new territory where I have to adjust. I have to adapt and overcome. And it's interesting that the Father always makes sure that he prepares the soil for you, even though you may not understand that the soil is being prepared. See, you rejecting the thing that you're going to need the most. See, right now you're looking at things, and whether you're a Christian or a Muslim or an atheist or whatever, the problem is that, see, we think we live in an either-or world. We don't understand that we live in a world that's all-inclusive. And so we don't understand that we are looking at the same thing just from different perspectives. And so because my perspective is different from your perspective doesn't mean that my perspective is right and your perspective is wrong. It just means that it's different. So we don't live in a world of left and right, up and down, or duality. We live in a world of consciousness or awareness or perception. And so it is your job to understand in order to optimize your life and to be successful is you don't have to be extreme and you don't have to be, you know, not engaged. But what you need to do is be both. Now, I've been saying it, but I've been saying it this way. If you notice, if you go back 20 years and listen to all of my messages I've been doing for the last 20 years, I've been saying I'm a Hebrews 6:1, and I've been saying never choose option A or option B. Always choose option C. Now, I challenge any listener to go and listen to any of my shows and see that I've said anything different. I've always said that I'm a Hebrews 6:1 Negro. And I will reveal, explain, illuminate, and simplify exactly what that means, because I don't think you understand. Because many people think that, you know, as a Hebrew 6:1 Negro, because I don't really talk about, and I say a lot of negative stuff about the church, and I say a lot of negative stuff about the reverends, the doctors, and the bishops, and I say that because I used to be that. See, I can talk about black folks because I'm black. I earned it, right? I don't know about you. I earned it. See, I can talk about Marines because I used to be a Marine. But if you're not a Marine and you go talk about some Marines, just make sure your ass is not around no Marines, because you're going to get spanked. I'm telling you, you don't want to talk no trash. If they're the first thing they're going to ask you, where you serve? Same thing with the Army. Don't talk trash about the Army unless you serve in the Army. And then you can speak from a position of knowledge. But don't come, like, I can't go talk about the Army around a bunch of Army Rangers or Army, otherwise I'm going to get my ass whooped, unless I got my Marines buddies with me. So let me make sure you understand. See, I talk about the church because I am the church. I want to correct it. I don't want to freaking get rid of it. And the problem is because I talk so passionately extreme about it, people assume I'm against it. So I got people saying, hey, Brother Will, I heard that, dude, you are anti-Jesus Christ. No, that's not what I said. Well, Brother, I heard you say that God is inside. You know, I never heard you anything about the outside. Yeah, because I did that message when I was 30. That's like 30 years ago. So I've grown. Just because I don't mention it. But I got to go back because some folk got it twisted. So I need you to understand, because see, I had it twisted. I left firm, fair, and consistent. Kept my black ass alive when I walked inside the prison. But I forgot how effective it was. I forgot. And I live with a woman who models it. And I left her because, hey, look at the definition of the word. But see, this is why people are saying that was the definition of my faith, the foundation. I left it. If you really examine it, it comes across like I left it. Examine, listen to my shows, and I come across because I say I am not a Christian, which I am not. But I ain't say nothing about the fact that I am not a knower. Meaning, what do you know, Brother Will? Well, I have a personal, private, productive, very productive. What I speak manifests. Now, I know a lot of Cretans that what they say doesn't manifest. My problem is I'm saying, thinking the wrong things. Because remember, to me, mundane means exactly what it says. So I got a problem, because I got a problem with what works. See, mundane means lacking interest, excitement, dull, humdrum, boring, monotonous, uninteresting, uninvolved, uneventful, unremarkable, repetitive, repetitious, routine, ordinary, everyday, day-to-day, run-of-the-mill, commonplace, earthly, temporal. All of these things, don't those things sound negative to you? Well, maybe it's just me, because I'm bipolar, so I'm extreme. I spend most of my time on the, see, I don't spend too much time down in person. You go to this manic and then this depressive stage when you're bipolar. Most of my time I'm up on the mountain, but when I do go down, because I'm so high up, when I go down, I go down. It's not a good place. I'm not a good dude to be around. So for me, mundane is like, oh, I don't want to do that. And so I'm doing everything 100 miles an hour. Guess what's happening? The details, that's where Lucifer far hang out at. The devil, he's in the details. And because your ass is moving so fast, you missed him. Brother Will, I can't talk about you. I can only talk about myself. So that means I need to slow my dog behind down. And maybe, just maybe, this may apply to you. But how do you do that, Brother Will? Because as I talked about yesterday, you know, and since I've, you know, been engaging in the therapeutic side of things, and they were really shocked, and still are. I had another conversation today. And the conversation always ends up at the same place. So how do you function every day? Because you should not be able to function. You should not be successful. So we need to know, well, I'm firm, fair, and consistent a little bit. I'm mundane a little bit, but I'm not mundane enough to be successful. So I got to master my space. And that's what today's message is about. Mastering your space mundanely according to the scriptures. Because the scripture says you must be, again, it's not run. Remember the tortoise and the hare? Who won the race? The tortoise. So I see tortoise and I'm like, yeah, I don't want to be a tortoise, but I want to win. I hate losing. Ooh, I hate losing more than I hate being mundane. So guess what? Sign me up for that mundane program. Let me get a double scoop of mundane. Because why? I've been going 100 miles an hour, but I ain't winning when it came to my current relationship with my wife. Because everything that I'm learning, she been doing. Every day like clockwork. But I look at that and I was like, yeah, that dog don't hunt. But as I've told you guys on many shows that, yeah, I make really good money. My wife makes more money than me. And so every area of my life, I realize as I examine her life and my life, her life is better than mine. Why is that? She's firm, she's fair, and she's consistent. So let's break these three down because, it kept me alive in the prison system. The whole entire, in fact, if you go in and you type that in Google, I guarantee you, if you go to Dogpile, if you go to Yahoo, go to any search engine and type in firm, fair, and consistent and watch what comes up. I guarantee you, corrections comes up. Now, the word corrections means to correct. Father, touch the minds of your people. Is that not what we are about? Well, let me rephrase that. That's what I'm about. I don't know about you. I'm here to optimize my life. So as a ex-correctional officer who understands the importance of when somebody's off track to correct them, to redirect them. See, the word correction means the act, the process. It means it's not a one-hitter quitter. You just can't hit it one time and quit it, Brother Will. Corrections mean it's the process of correcting oneself. The word correction means the change that rectifies an error or an inaccuracy. Heavenly Father, touch the mind. Touch my mind, Father. See, the word correction means to amend the current version to something that freaking works. Sign me up for that program. See, I don't know if you understand. It's interesting that everything that I've done and walked away from is where I should have stayed. See, when I went to the Marine Corps, I went to the Marine Corps really the day before I turned 18. I would have retired at 37. Do you understand the words that just came out of my mouth? Now I'm knocking on 60 right now. If I would have had half a brain, I would have did them 20 years and I'd be on my second retirement right now. My best friend, Sergeant Major Billy Ray Garcia, retired out of the Marine Corps. He's in, I think, retired Postal Service. Now he's working on his third retirement. Me? What do I got to show for my time? Zero. Let me make sure you understand the issue or the problem with running 100 miles an hour and not being firm, fair, and consistent. You're going so fast you can't pause and make the adjustments. By the time you look up and look around, your ass is way off in left field, Brother Will. See, firm, fair, and consistent, again, if it works for the correctional department, where you can get one man to correct 90 known killers. Man, you might want to check that system out. Because, see, the Correctional Institute is interesting because it's built on this philosophy of being, number one, fair. See, fair is a word that most people don't really understand the true definition. Because remember, for your dog to hunt, you got to go back to the original definition. And if you go back to the original, to the word origin of this word fair, because when we talk about it, we're talking about it, and I said fair, I meant firm. Firm is the number one word. We start off with firm, fair, and consistent. So firm, again, is an interesting word because it has to do with a partnership. Now, when I think of firm, it is, according to the original definition, it means a strong, vigorous, steadfast, loyal, faithful, enduring hold that gives support. Now, gotta preach right there. I don't know if you understand, so let me go back and re-verbalize what I just said. Number one, to master the mundane by the will. See, thankfully, by the grace and mercy of God, my system focus, discipline, order, my ability to create and to write my Eagles workflow management tool, my ability to harness all of this energy that I have and go work out two, sometimes three times a day, to do all these shows, to write 60 books, my ability to keep myself kept me out of prison. It has kept me from knocking somebody in the head with a baseball bat. Because, see, I have these surges of energy. See, the way bipolar works, for the people that don't know, is that you have two poles, like Jacob and Boaz. But what happens is, bipolar, we have these grandiose energy. It's not, I always say the word ideal, and I always use the word excitement, but the therapist, that's their term, because most of the people who are giving therapy about mental issues, they don't have mental issues. You may not want to talk to them. Sidebar. See, nobody can help you go somewhere they ain't been. Another sidebar. You might want to write that down. Since I didn't read about it in the book. So they're saying, well, you know, do you feel suicidal? That's the wrong question. The question is, do you got a surge of energy and you ain't got nowhere to put it? That's the question. So when you get that surge of energy, then you remember, hey, you know what? That fool disrespected me last week. And with all this energy, you go look for the dude that disrespected you last week. And then you try to cave his chest in. That's what bipolar does. See, bipolar gives you grandiose energy and ideals. So the question is, where do the ideals come from? See, the ideals take you away from being firm, fair, and consistent. And the ideals from bipolar, guess where it takes you? It takes you to the three immutable laws of Lucifer: the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and the cares of this world. I think that's a scripture. I remember reading that somewhere. You will find my bipolar friends, or anybody got any mental illness, you got ADHD or whatever they call it, again, hyperactivity disorder, you got arrested development disorder, you got schizophrenia, any mental issue, this is what you're going to find. It's a surge in energy to get you to, again, lust of the flesh, pride of life, cares of this world. Now, remember, the word energy is the word entity, in case you forgot. So it's a surge of entities. Now, the question you should be asking yourself is, are these entities benevolent? I was talking with a client, and we were talking about Aleister Crowley. I like Aleister Crowley. Those some good shiznits. However, ask Aleister Crowley how he wrote. Now, Aleister Crowley got most of his stuff from a surge of energy, and he had this little dude. He drew a picture of him. He looked like a little alien, flathead, and he had a name. I forgot the dude's name. He said that this dude, kind of like my boy Joseph Smith, kind of like, you know, even Paul in the Bible, ride on a horse, got knocked off the horse, surge of energy comes through, or we call it a sound, a frequency, waves of vibration. Power, power, why persecutest thou me? Now, nobody else that was with Paul heard it. He was the only one who heard it. Paul said, who the fiend is you? He said, you know who I am. Now, again, if you go to every major religion, every major founder of every major religion has the same experience. My only question is, that energy, that entity, is it the big G or was it the little G? Now, I can't answer the question, only you can. So when you are talking about mastering the mundane, because remember, everybody wants to win. And I thought that if you run fast, you get finished there first. That dog don't hunt. Unless you run in. Now, see, I never ran anything over 100 yards. Whole time I was in track and field. I tried the 330s, never did really good. And then, you know, with the hurdles. I tried the open quarter. Yeah, that dog didn't hunt either. I tried the 220. I got smoked. But in the 40, man, I can go out today and race these youngsters. I smoked them suckers in the 40 because it's the start. And you go all out for 40 yards, and it's a wrap. So there's no endurance. There's no stability. There's no strategy. There's no plan. It's just boom, and then the race is over. By the time people figure out, I've already crossed the line. So I live my life the same way. I ain't got no plan. I don't know nothing about no stability. I don't know nothing about no strategy. I just, take off 100 miles an hour. Race is over. But life doesn't work like that. So I've struggled in the area that requires stability, that requires consistency, that requires what most people, as I'm learning, call normalcy. Like, I'm not a normal dude. I'll be the first to tell you. Anybody who knows me is like, yeah, Brother Will, he's a little high strung. So firm, again, to be firm means to be unwavering in your principles. Ouch. Heavenly Father, help me. Let me say that again. To be firm means to be unwavering in your principles. Now, you go to prison, and you work in the prison, and you don't open, you can never open two doors at the same time. Number one rule in prison. That's how every ride starts. And every day, every inmate will try to get you to open two doors at the same time. They go to the door that's to the, what we call the bay, that term. Some people call it the wreck, squad. There's a lot of different rooms. Basically, all the inmates are housed in this unit. So you open that door, then there's another door. All the inmates get into the hallway. Then you close that door. Then there's another door that opens it up to the yard. You open up that door. You wait for everybody that's in the hallway to get to the yard that's in a fence. They're still not out into general population. There's another door. Three doors before they ever get in contact with another person. Why? Them suckers know the system. Because they're trying to let somebody in who want to shank somebody that's inside of your unit. Vice versa. So if you open that door and open another door at the same time, the riot is on. Well, life is no different. Principles. So if there's a principle, firm means you are unwavering in your principle. Now, that means that, okay, I got a principle that says when you get married, you know, you're supposed to be this word that they call faithful. That's a principle. You know, there's a lot of principles. So unwavering means that when, you know, nobody's around, nobody will know anything, you can get away with it. Do you put your principle on the shelf? Or do you maintain that principle? See, most of us, when we think about firm, that word unwavering doesn't come to mind. But all I know, if you don't have that principle, if in the prison system, in law enforcement, if you do not have unwavering principles, somebody going to offer you something. I mean, the first time I stopped a drug dealer and he asked me, hey, man, how much money you make? A year. And he said, I'll give that to you right now. All you got to do is look the other way. Just act like you did not see what's in my trunk. So you make, well, how much you make, $50,000? He took out $50,000, put it on the back of his car. So, oh, you're going to make $100,000? He took out $100,000. How much you make? All you got to do is look away. Just go get back in your unit. Act like this didn't happen. As I was putting the cuffs on him, that don't work, homie. Now, see, when it comes to that type of stuff, you know, hey, man, I'm a mighty oak. But then in other areas of my life, I find myself vacillating. See, I have this way of justifying my behavior. That's not firm. See, if I went back to working corrections, I probably would last about a week before I got shanked or before they put a 45-pound plate upside my forehead. Because in the prison system, if you say, I'm going to give you a match, and you don't deliver that match, you're what they call a dead man walking. The only thing you got in the prison is your word. Life is no different. The universe only responds to people who are unwavering in their principle. So you can listen to me, but Will, I'm dedicated to your program today. But tomorrow, yeah, tomorrow, not so much. Oh, Brother Will, I'm with you today, but, you know, you said something that kind of pissed me off, so you know what, Brother Will, bump you. I'm not listening to your stuff no more, dog. Yeah, your principles are weak, homie. You're talking to a man that threw his principles out the window, but I went back and got them. So number one, unwavering principles. We call it firm. Now, let me tell you what principles are in case, again, they are inside the word firm. Here's the definition of the word firm. Now, all of these are principles that you must have to exist in the spirit realm. See, where we are going, see, the reason I got my asshole because God was telling me, okay, son, the same principles in spiritual warfare are the same principles in marriage. That's why I instituted it. So if you don't have those principles in your relationship, when you go up against that big shadowy figure that was hanging around in your backyard, that your dog was going off, when you go up against him, when you go up against it, you can get your ass whooped. Why? You don't have these. You're not strong. You're not vigorous. You're not steadfast. That means stand fast. You're not loyal, faithful. You're not enduring. You're not stable. Mental stability. You know that word in the Greek means thronos, throns. You know what that means? Seat. That means that you're just going to sit down and you ain't going nowhere. You just look the devil in the eye and say, as for me and my house, you know the drill, homie. Do you have that type of resolve? That's the only way that you're going to master the mundane. Number two, after you get some unwavering principles and you're firm, you got to be fair. Now, you're talking about toe curling? You're talking about mind-blowing? See, fair, it's not like, we're going to go to the fair and hang out. That's not the kind of fair I'm talking about. See, the word fair, now, again, we're talking about mastering. We're not talking about hanging out. We're talking about this is next level. This is where I'm going. I'm not there yet. I just got, you know, knocked on my can. And then I said, why did I get knocked on my can again? And the father said, you ain't got no principles. What do you mean you ain't got no principles, dude? I'm Master Teacher 33. You gonna read my bio? See, the word fair, my brothers and sisters, it means free. From dishonesty. Heavenly Father, touch the minds of your people. Fair means you can do a lot of things in prison, in corrections, in law enforcement, in life. But if you're not free from distractions, life is over. Because the minute you are going somewhere, Brother Will, you are going to be distracted. And the word fair means beautiful. It means lovely. It means present. Isn't all of the distractions pretty? Aren't they a beautiful decor? You ever seen one that wasn't? See, it means unblemished, fair. So fair, my brothers and sisters, has to do with the ability to, again, remember those three laws that the devil used to keep you trapped? Other than math, music, and language, the cares of this world, the pride of life, the lust of the flesh. See, the cares of this world, you're going along fine, and then you see something in the world that you care. Hey, I care. And then you pull over. You get distracted. That's the kiss of death. See, the word fair means that you are free from distractions. Fair means that, again, it has to do with this unwavering commitment to the beauty that you already have. See, in the prison system, it goes to something like this. Father, touch the minds of your people. The word fair has to do with the understanding between the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. Now, I've been saying this for 25 years. Go back and listen to all of my shows. I don't go by the letter of the law. I always enforce the spirit of the law. Why? That's fair. Well, Brother Will, what do you mean by the letter of the law, brother, and the spirit of the law? Well, the letter of the law says, when I was a cop, I saw a speed limit that says 35 miles an hour. By law, if you are driving 36 and a 35, I can pull you over and give you a ticket. I know officers who do that. My brother, in law office right now, he's the number one. Since he's been in uniform, he's been number one in where he works at in issuing citations. This fool will give me a ticket. He's my brother. You drive, now he's letter of the law. Me, if you drive in 36 and a 35, I already know that the speed limit is there for your protection. So the limit there is because maybe you're in a school zone. Maybe there's a curve up ahead and you can't make that curve doing 45, but you can make the curve safely doing 35. That's why, see, I know that. Most cops, I shouldn't tell you guys this, but most cops will not give you a ticket unless you're driving 10 over. That's kind of the unwritten rule in law enforcement. I test it out all the time. I fly past on I-10, I fly past DPS offices all the time. Speed limit is 75, I'm doing 80, nothing. But pass a DPS officer and the speed limit is 75 and do 86, you are going to get stopped, you're going to get a ticket. That's the unwritten rule in law enforcement, 10 over. But if you're a rookie, I once got stopped and I was doing like about almost 80. I was doing like 79, 80. Dude put me over, I was like, dude, what are you putting me over for? And man, this speed limit is 35, sir. Yeah, but I was doing 80. Yeah. First, I'm asking, how long have you been at the academy? 2 weeks. Man, give me my ticket. I said, dude, I used to be in law enforcement. Man, we don't write no tickets for that. Yeah, but, sir, you're getting a ticket today. I already knew. He was green. So what am I saying? The universe works on the same laws, brothers and sisters. Fair. The spirit of the law is not rigid. It has a gray area. Unfortunately, most of us violate that gray area. See, you can still be firm and have unwavering beliefs and establish all of your goals without being so rigid that you don't take into consideration someone's humanity. I pull you over. Your wife is in the backseat of your car. She's getting ready to deliver a baby. And you tell me, officer, I'm sorry, this happened to me. Sir, I'm trying to get to the office. I'm trying to get to the hospital. And my wife's in the backseat. We're going to deliver a baby. Dude, follow me. I tell him my hazards and my lights, boom, escort to the hospital. Now, some officers, they don't give a, sir, you're speeding. But there's extenuating circumstances. We don't do extenuating circumstances. Give me driver's license, registration, please. Fair means you understand the letter of the law, but you're operating by the spirit of law. You're going to contact my spirit. And we're going to speak spirit to spirit. That, my brothers and sisters, is fair. Fair means that you have what is called foresight. It means you're not like RoboCop. See, to be firm, you must understand and you must have what we call, again, an SOP, Standard Operating Procedure, in life. Those are rules, regulations, and you live your life based upon those rules. That's what it means to be fair. I mean, what it means to be firm. But fair means I'm adding the spiritual touch to be firm. In other words, I got these principles, and I am unwavering in those principles. But I also have a touch of humanity, which is saying I have a touch of spirituality. That's fair. Fair is the ability to not make a blanket statement that says all black people listen to rap music. That is not fair. Fair is not saying all Caucasians kiss their cousins and wear cowboy boots and listen to Conway Twitty. That's not fair. Fair is not making a statement that says some other racial epithet that you try to apply globally over the entire race. That's not fair. Fair is taking each situation individual fair. Very few people have that. The people that are successful, they are firm, and they are fair. And last but not least, woo! Now, you look at the definition of the word consistent. You probably see a picture of my wife in there, consistent. That girl is consistent. I got to give it to her. That's very few people. Now, and she has all three of these attributes. And it's funny because we both come from the same field. Only different was, I don't hold it against her, you know, but she went into the Army. She wasn't in the Marines. But other than that, you know, that's her only flaw, is that she just chose the wrong branch of service. But I forgave her for going into the Army. But other than that, we both went in law enforcement. We both went in corrections. We both been in security, insurance. All of these organizations and things require you to be firm, to be fair and consistent. But when I got out of those things and I started working for myself, I got into the self-help movement, and guess what I got? I started going to the Amway rallies. I started reading, you know, all Zig Ziglar stuff and Les Brown and Tony Robbins. And it was like, go, 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 go. And I got into this whole cheerleader atmosphere. And it's like, yeah, yeah, let's go kick some booty. And I just got all pumped up. And it's like, yeah, we don't need no time off. You know, we can sleep when we die. And I lost my way. I forgot from whence I came. See, I'm a little country boy from Forsyth, Texas. I don't know nothing about this go, you know, kill, kill, kill. I know nothing about ruthless men retain wealth. I'm not an ape. I've been trying to be one all my life because I lost my way. See, I got caught up in the fluff. I got caught up in the name it and claim it. And I forgot the bottom line. You got to be firm, unwavering in your principles. You got to be fair. You got to operate according to the spirit of the law instead of the letter of the law. The letter kills, but the spirit gives life. And number three, you have to be consistent. Out of the three, ooh, man, if you want to stay alive in prison, whatever you say you are when you check in on day one, you better be that 30 years later when you get out. If you say you are blank and you change your story, you just lost your life. The number one thing in life, especially in law enforcement, corrections, whatever, if you pull over people who speed and they go past, if you rigid, you the letter guy, like one thing I gave my brother, you drive 36 and a 35, he going to pull you over. He is consistent. So you just can't pull over all white people who drive 36 and 35 and let the black people go. And you can't pull over all the black people and let the white people go. Now, some people do that. That's why those are the people that got what we call a mark on their chest. It's just a matter of time before something going to bite them in the earth. See, consistent means you consist of something. See, the word consistent, it means standing still and standing firm. The word consistent comes from the word consist. The word consist means made up. It means you made up your mind not to compromise. Oh, man, if I had just done that, if I had just did that. See, the word consistency means that I'm going to stand right here, brother. I'm going to stand on my square. I'm not going away. You can't get me off my square. That's what consistent means. It means you have a cause to stand. Oh, damn. I didn't read that part. Now, when I was in corrections, this is what they said. This is what they told us. It says, it may say, hey, guard or CO, purple, now they call it the other man. They call me spirit chunker. Hey, spirit chunker, because, you know, black man. Can I go to the rec yard early? Let me see. No. No, the next question. Come on, homie. Come on, dude. Don't be so blankly blank. Sorry, mother, you're spirit chunker, your mama, this, blah, blah, blah. Let me go early. No. Why? Because I have a cause to stand. You know what that next question is? Why? What's your cause? Well, they told us we had this little thing that we kept in our pocket. And it had all of the ordinances, all of the rules, and the entire rule book of the prison system. And every time we addressed an inmate, we had to state the statute. That's the cause, the law. See, if you ain't got a cause, that's why you stand, your ass ain't going to stand. Now, I'm speaking from personal experience. Just like just happened like last week. And I'm talking about last year. See, I forgot my reason. I didn't have no cause to stand. See, you can't abandon. See, in the Marine Corps, we have the general orders. That was 10 general orders. And when you're standing at your post, they'll walk up to you, probably recite your general orders. Sir, yes, sir. You will sign off, and you better know them by memory, your general orders. The first general order, I will not relieve my post until properly relieved, sir. Now, that was what? How many years ago? 40 years ago, and I still remember it. The general orders. What's yours? Oh, you ain't got none? You're going to be just like me. You better get you some freaking resolve, homie. You better find a cause and a reason for why you standing on your square. You mean to tell me, well, Brother Will, I believe this is my purpose, brother. Okay, what's your cause? Well, I went to an Amway rally, and they said that, to do this and that. So I'm going to, hey, I'm going to do it, brother. I'm going to make some money. First demon show up, your ass is gone. What's your cause, man? See, I forgot the basics. I'm so busy majoring in the minors. I remember yesterday, what we talked about yesterday. Do you guys remember what we talked about yesterday? How you master the mundane? Boots on the ground, homie. So you got the freaking air support. But is there any infantry? At the end of the day, every war comes down to hand-to-hand combat. So you don't know no Hapkido. You don't know no judo. You ain't got no MMA skills. You ain't got no grappling skills. You ain't got nothing. So when you finally run out of bullets and they kick down your door and it's your hands and they hands, you ain't got no knife fighting techniques. You don't know no wrist locks. You don't know no arm bars? Oh, you in trouble, homie. Because at the end of the day, it comes down to ground warfare. That's what the devil's going to use on you. That's what he used on me. Because why? That's the details. Oh, you can see anybody can get a drone while they're sitting in an air-conditioned room in Nevada, in Las Vegas, Nevada, and they freaking using a drone to kill somebody in Iraq by freaking pushing a button. Take no balls to do that. But what happens when you run out of drones? What happens when you ain't got no more freaking planes? You ain't got no more helicopters? You can't launch no freaking surface-to-air missiles no more. You're all out. You got to go over there. What happens when you go, see, we learned that in Vietnam. See, America, we good at killing from a distance. But climb through somebody's tunnel. in their backyard. Then what happens? Yeah. Everybody said, well, we really didn't lose the war in Vietnam, but we didn't win it either. Why? No troops that knew how to fight were on the ground. I can't say they didn't know how to fight because they wasn't trained. The leadership sent them over there into an area that they were not prepared for. So I'm a leader, and I have this thing called life optimization course. And I don't want to send you into an area that you ain't prepared for, because what's going to happen to you? What's going to happen to you? Same thing happened to me. So since it happened to me, and I'm a couple of months ahead of y'all, if I don't get my shizness together, you can't get your shizness together. So what happened to you, Brother Will? Well, I ran my ass out there, buck wild, 100 miles an hour, and I forgot the details. I wasn't firm, I wasn't fair, and I wasn't consistent. I wasn't slow and steady. I was all zeal, no knowledge. Same thing that happened to me 20 years ago. He just waited a little while. He packaged it in a different way, and then he said, high energy, brother. Well, you got all this energy. What you going to do with it, bro? What you going to do with it? You're working out 3 times a day. You're doing all these shows. You write all this book. Still can't sleep at night. You need something to do, brother. I got something for you to do, brother. Will, lust of the flesh, pride of life, cares of this world. And me? Because I had no reason to stand. Now, I got a bunch of them, but I couldn't see them. Why? They didn't got no value. How come they ain't got no value, Brother Will? Because they mundane. See, I'm bipolar. I'm on the extreme. I don't see no value in somebody who's a tortoise. I'm a sprinter. 40 yards, 60 max, that's it. If I run 100 yard dash, I'm going to get smoked. But give me 40, maybe 60. After that, it's over. I'm what you call an indoor sprinter. Outdoors, they don't even have the 40 or the 60. But indoors, oh, yeah, I take all comers. So let me make sure you understand, brothers and sisters, because this is the only way, again, to go to the next level that we know. We already did the Blood God series. We did the Fire God series. We did the Carbon 7 Super Being. Y'all want to hang out at one of those three levels? As-salamu alaykum. God bless you. Do your thing, bro. But me, I'm going up yonder. Next, we're going to break down the light beings. Then last, we're going to break down the plasma and the ether beings. See, that's what I'm going. And the father's like, yo, homie, if you want to be a plasma ether being, there's big demons up chill. You can't come there with that weak jelly back stuff. You wavering. One day you for me, the next day you against me. One day you married, the next day you ain't. One day you freaking working out, the next day you ain't working out. No, that dog don't hunt up chill. You got to be firm. You got to be fair. You got to be consistent. Otherwise, you sit down there and hang out with the blood level. You hang out and talk about race. And those non-issues. You go down and you get all worked up because you got some carbon in your skin. And we ain't even got no skin up here. So you hang out there. Oh, yeah, you want to do that? Okay, you can be a djinn. You can do that, bouncing around stuff. You can be unfaithful. You can be immoral. You can do, ain't nobody's looking. Oh, I can get away with it. So you go do it. Yeah, you can do that stuff down there. You can't come up here and do that because I'm all-knowing. I'm all-powerful, I'm all-present, and everybody up here is all-knowing, all-powerful, and all-present. So what you do, it affects everybody. So I don't let weak, jelly-back people up chill. So the father's saying, get your shit together, homie. Or stay your ass downstairs. And he's telling you the same thing. Like I said, I'm just a couple of steps ahead of you. Consistent. See, consistent is about an attitude. It has nothing to do with what you do physically. Consistency is a state of freaking mind. Consistency means that you are going to be the same person during the daytime as you are at night. Consistency means you are the same dudette. When I see you on Monday as when I see you on Tuesday. Consistency means if I see you at the mall, you're the same dude. If I see you at home, you're the same dude. If I see you at work, you're the same dude. Consistency. Consistency means if I see you at home at your wife, with your wife, and then if I see you at the club, I'm going to see you at the club with your wife. Consistency. Yeah, I got a couple things I gotta work on. Consistency. You consistent, brother? Are you consistent, sister? Are you a master of the mundane? See, God has this thing that I broke down inside of my book of the seven omnis. Everybody knows three. Oh, he's omnipresent, brother. He's omnipotent. But there's another omni that nobody talks about. It's omnisimplistic. Now, I have it inside of my book that breaks down the standard, which is, again, the word that's not written in the word. And in the standard, it's based upon Gagu, God Almighty, Grand Unified, a unification theorem. It's not a theory. It's a theorem. It's a complete kirka. It's a complete circle. And in that, it talks about omnisimplistic. And it says that there is only one hero, Israel. The Lord your God is one. But we got, I think last count was 2,000 and something different gods. In the periodic table, when you go to chemistry, they say there are 118 chemicals. But God says, hear, O Israel, the chemical is one. There's only one chemical. What is the number one chemical? Hydrogen. Every other chemical is a manipulation of the one. See, that there's only one musical note. It's called a ute. You probably never even heard of it. U-T-E. You want to blow your cookies? Research that one. See, all of the Gregorian and the Gregorian chant was based upon the yut. And they say when they sung, shit. So in order to build a temple, the pyramid, they would sing the same way. Remember, Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho and the wall came coming down? He never had a gun. How in the hell he tear down the wall? Frequency. The yut. See, if you get in the right sound, my brother, if you get, that's called state of mind. Remember, consistency is a freaking state of mind. That said, as for me and my folk, as for me and my house. See, I don't know about you, my brothers and sisters, but I'm going to give me a good dose of act right. And I don't know what y'all going to do, but again, I'm going to stand firm. And having done all, stand. That's what the word consistent means. In your position because you got a freaking reason. You ain't standing there looking around because you don't know what to do. You're standing there because you're firm. You got some freaking unwavering principles. You read them, you memorized them, and you know them. They inside of your ruach. They inside of your pneuma. It ain't that, oh, well, hold on, brother. Let me go in my back pocket and check out my standard operating procedure and let me read it. No, hell no. You ain't got time, brother. Them fiery darts are coming downrange. So the enemy's shooting at you, and you don't know nothing about, you know, weaponry. You don't even know how to load your gun. You don't even know how to shoot. You don't even know brass. You don't even know that you got to breathe, relax, aim, slow, steady, squeeze. So you can't be in a freaking infantry, man, unless you understand brass. Every soldier understands that. So you now, you're a soldier in the army of God. I don't know if you understand, but you've been drafted, homie. So if you're in the army, if you're a soldier in the army, then you got to understand that God has some principles. Some people call them the Ten Commandments. I got a book, again, that breaks down the 50 commandments of Yahushua in the New Testament alone. So if you don't have that book, anybody that's listening to this show right now, just email me at masterteacher33.com. I'll send you that book for free. If you're part of the Clarinomics program, you ain't got to worry about it. You're getting it anyway. Now, whether you read it or not, another study for another time. But 50 in the New Testament alone that Yahushua says that you should do. People talk about 10. Come on, man. Stand on your square. Have a reason. Understand whose you are and who you are. So, brothers and sisters, I'm out of time. But the bottom line, in conclusion, it is so important. Like, now the only way, see, in the prison, it's life and death. Here, it's spiritually dead. You can die spiritually and still be alive physically. You can be a part of what I call the walking dead. In the prison system, they take your physical life if you don't do these three things. In the spirit realm, the devil takes your soul if you don't do these three things. You still have a body, but your soul, or your mind, your will, your emotion, your imagination, your intellect, gone. He's going to possess your soul if you are not firm, fair, and consistent. Make sure that your head is in the cloud with God, but your feet is on the ground. Because the ground, again, as it says in the Our Father prayer, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's his will. God is bringing heaven to earth. Contrary to popular belief, he's establishing a new heaven and a new earth, and he's using neutrinos to do it. Sister Erica sent me a text where she was working with someone, and the person that she was working with happened to be either working with or know somebody who was working with. If I remember the story correctly, I think she was a scientist actually in, and she told her something about neutrinos that I had shared with you guys that kind of verified, and I wish I may ask Sister Erica if I can send that text to the group so I can share with everybody in the group. Man, this stuff is real. I'm not making it up. These neutrinos that are coming and hitting your skin as we is causing major changes in the atmosphere and inside of you. And you either going to get on board or get left behind. I don't know about you. I'm going to get on board. I'm going to get my shizness together. It is my prayer that you do the same. So my brothers and my sisters, I love you. I appreciate you. Thank everyone for joining me on today's show. I want a special shout out to, again, you guys. I've said a lot of disrespectful things about my wife. And I don't know if she's still on or this thing or not, but I just want to apologize, as I said yesterday publicly, to my wife. My wife is, all of this stuff I'm teaching today, I got it from my wife. She models this in front of me for the last 8 years. I've been living with it, and I've been rejecting it for 8 years. Everything I've been asking for, God sent it in her, and I was too stupid to see it. And so I apologize to her already, and we'll continue to apologize. But I want to apologize to you, and I want to make it public, because I said a lot of shit publicly that was negative, and it was not a true reflection of her character. And I'm not that dude. I don't play like that. I got used. I take full responsibility. And I'm apologizing to every client. And I'm especially apologizing to my wife. Because I use that as a crutch. Same way when I was a cop, my gun was my crutch. Because if you piss me off, I'll put out the gun to shoot you. And I created situations to justify my behavior. There is no behavior. There is no justification. And I need everybody to hear me clearly. There is no justification for a man to leave his wife. Especially the way that I did it. Now, I understand that things happen. But when you marry, you take it to a whole other level. I ain't talking about girlfriend, boyfriend, high school stuff. Certain things should be, and it should be done decent. And it should be done in order. It should be firm. It should be fair. Because if you're going to do it, it shouldn't be no damn sneaking around, conniving, sneaking out in the middle of the night and all the shit that I've been doing. And as a leader, as a man, as somebody who calls himself a master teacher, I need to make sure that I say this publicly again. I disrespected my wife on levels that is unforgivable. It is my prayer. Because I damaged her spirit. You can do a lot of things, brothers and sisters. You cannot damage someone's spirit. The Bible says it's better to tie a noose around your neck and jump into the sea than it is to purposely or accidentally harm one of his people, one of his children. And I did that. So I'm asking my wife for forgiveness. I'm asking you for forgiveness. And I'm asking God for forgiveness. because only he can do it. I love you and I appreciate you. God bless you. And as always, brothers and sisters, his name is Yahuwah. His son's name is Yahushua. The Ruach and the Numa is what leads you and guides you, not me. The Ruach and the Numa will lead you and guide you in all truth. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will see you in eternity.
Y'all need to wake up now. But no, this ain't a pyramid scheme. Like the police, yeah, I'm still on the scene. After I murdered and flee reality, you wouldn't murder or flee. That's all truth if you heard it from me. Verbal or circle MCs, firmly a virtue, bring the world to its knees. So when I bless you, you should certainly sneeze. People don't purchase CDs, so I give it to them for free. Cause one bird in the house better than two in the tree. You still dreaming, thinking your career is something that's not. You kettle corn or something to pop. You still dreaming, pass a message if you run in the pot. Tell a mama hold it down and hold you up like all the traffic just stopped. It's like some people, it's like I let the sample sing to you. The truth is in the words, but it's all a dream to you. Or maybe your inception, Leonardo speak to you. DiCaprio tell you that you nice, snap out the acting, yo. You go with us to get out of that shell like pistachios. So quit dreaming. Quit dreaming. 1, 2, 1, 2. Some dreams they dream, some dreams come true. A 1, 2, 1, 2. Some dreams they dream, some dreams come true. You just, it's just, I see.
Yeah.